Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
This is the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1, streaming live. At My Talk, MyTalk1071.com, everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Traynor.
Hi.
What?
I said hi.
Hi. As much as I'd like to keep listening to that song and talking about it, we have other things to talk about, including the Royals.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, we have some Royal news to catch up with, and we really haven't had a chance to talk about Harry and Meghan of late. They kind of just been in the background, right? I'm sure they're still doing stuff, moving and shaking and being the, you know, cool West Coast celebs that they are now in beautiful Montecito, California. But I saw this article and I thought, here's a perfect opportunity for us to catch up with the Royals, because I had forgotten this. So you'll remember most recently, by that I mean at some point in the past, we talked about...
Time is made up, so it doesn't matter.
Do you remember a term, Megxit?
Oh, yeah, big time. This is when Harry and Meghan, which, by the way, Meghan took all the fall for this.
Yeah,
which is
of course.
Just rude, but it's
because she's an American.
Yeah.
And also a woman of color.
Right.
It's a long story.
Don't even.
People are
get
racist.
Get us started. Yeah. But, you know, when they announced that they were going to maybe part ways a little bit with the royal family, that's when the term Megxit was coined. But the thing was, is that there wasn't a blueprint for this, because nobody had ever done this in this way. And so they were sort of caught off guard because they went ahead with that announcement that they were going to part ways with the royal family before they'd ever really made a plan for that.
Yeah. So that story happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had forgotten this wrinkle, and it was reminded to me. I was reminded of this when I read the following headline from a tabloid. Quote, poll, as Megxit talks near, would you support Meghan and Harry rejoining the royal family? And I was like, what? Well, the article says Meghan Markle and Prince Harry's Megxit review, again, rude, with the Queen is due to take place very soon. Express.co.uk is asking, would you support the Duke and Duchess of Sussex rejoining the royal front lines following their sensational exit? So you'll remember, actually, that the Queen, they had this royal summit. I think it was called, like, the Sussex Summit, the Summit of Sussex. And it was the Queen basically calling Harry and Meghan in to be like, all right, what are we going to do with you two?
Yeah.
And they were allowed to, you know, off with themselves to the...
okay.
Away with them.
Yes, thank you.
To go to the United States via Canada, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the wrinkle in that was that they had to do this review after a year. Like, they had to revisit this arrangement to talk about whether it would be permanent or not, or how it would be permanent.
I had completely forgotten about that.
So I don't know to what the extent that's real or that that's really going to happen. Like, I don't know how formal or official it's going to be, but I had forgotten that that was a thing. And I thought to myself, well, is there really any chance at this point that they're going to go back to their previous lives? I highly doubt it. Now, whether or not the crown will allow them, or the firm, as it is referred to as, not the gym that I go to, but
or
like,
the Steve Grisham novel.
Yes.
Steve Grisham.
What's
John
his name?
Grisham.
Steve Grisham. I actually know a guy named close. Steve Grisham,
yeah.
But he
Hello
didn't write
to
that
him.
Novel.
it didn't sound right coming out of my mouth.
So again, one of your peers is now at the head of the U.S. government, Colleen.
And
you can't even get John Grisham's name right.
That's okay. The worst. Oh.
Anyway, what I was going to say is, it's possible, actually, that they might have some royal duties, possibly? I guess I don't know. See, she can't even keep a straight face during the words royal duties. Holly, there's no hope for her.
No, none.
I mean, I hope there's not a class reunion anytime soon. It's going to be like Blanche Devereaux when she goes to her class reunion and then wants to get a facelift because she feels ugly and old.
Now I got
spoiler
that
alert, she didn't
okay.
get the facelift
Thank
or
you.
The boob lift or anything else.
Anyway, back to the royals.
I looked around like, where am I? So it's possible that they could be given some royal duties again, but I just kind of feel like this ship has sailed.
No, yeah. I feel like this is all, once again, and we've watched the royals do this, where it's all about the pomp and circumstance, right? It's all about the tradition. It's all about the, you know, they're playing the role. I mean, there's a certain amount of it that is theater. And this, to me, feels like one of those theatrical moments, right? Like, in order for it to look like they were allowing Harry and Meghan to do their this had to be sort of baked into the storyline, yeah. that there would be another opportunity just in case they did leave and want to come back. To your point, like, who knows how formal this is actually going to be? It very well may be like, you know, the Queen dials up her mobile phone and Harry answers and she goes, "Are you coming back, dear?" And he says, "No." And then that's the end of it,
yeah.
right? Like, it might not be this big do that we make it out to be.
Yeah.
But I kind of like the idea of just having a yearly review, being like, well, what works? Oh what doesn't?
I mean, I like that too. I think that's but you know, the thing, I'm actually with you, Holly, that like, they probably should do that a lot more in the royal family.
Yeah.
What's working? What's not?
He's a royal don't.
Yeah. But the weird thing to me, and this is the part that always trips me up about the royal family, is I also have to remind myself, like, they're actually a family. Like, they're an actual family yeah. system.
Yeah, you need to watch The Crown.
Oh, I've been meaning to catch up on that.
I mean, have you?
Sure.
Don't lie to us.
That's a lie. Truth Detector says that is a lie.
I did watch the first season, and still is the thing that stands out in stark contrast, though, is that, like, you watch this and you see them as a family, but
so,
they're also doing this big job.
I'm glad you brought that up because I do want to say I have a beef. And if I was going to get on my soapbox at this point, I would say, okay, I'll just get on my soapbox and say, I'm so tired of like tuning into people like reacting to The Crown as if it's real life, as if it's an actual reflection of the royal family. Like, they are real people. Mm-hmm. They are a real family. And it is because of that that makes us watch shows like The Crown, because we wonder, what must that really look like behind the scenes?
Right.
Because what we see on the outside is so clearly not what so clearly not what's happening on the inside. I mean, it stands to reason that that's the case, right?
Right.
And by people who've actually said as much, who were involved and are involved. So, but what you see on The Crown is not the actual behind the scenes. What
right.
you see on The Crown is a very, very talented writer, showrunner, producer, maker, creator, tell a story that is so compelling that people feel so strongly and moved so much so as to go online and trash the real people that the show reflects. Because that has happened post this season of The Crown. People have like come out against Charles and Camilla, and look, there is no love lost in my heart for Charles and Camilla, because I will never forgive them for allowing her to like just show up and all of a sudden be there like, excuse me, please. I have opinions is what I'm saying. But I realize those are rooted in like tabloids, which is the 1980s equivalent of Netflix's The Crown.
Right.
We were made to believe things by the storytellers, whether tabloids or The Crown. But at the end of the day, and the thing you have to remind yourself is, those are real people. And right. what you read in the tabloids and what you read on the TV when you're watching it.
With your eyeballs.
But sometimes I read the subtitles. That's not real.
Right.
It's not real. It is literally not real.
It reminds me of, like, the joke of it is, you know, that I love the show Little House on the Prairie. And I watch Little House on the Prairie as though it's a reality show.
Yeah.
Based on
because it reflects Laura Ingalls Wilder, who, by the way, also was a real person.
Right. Exactly. So it's a similar thing. I can see how that all goes down. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we need to take... Well, actually, this, I was going to say like a full left turn. It's not really a full left turn because we can get to this through the royal family, through Prince Andrew, to be exact. We've got some Jeffrey Epstein news.
Oh,
we'll get to that after this on My Talk 107.1. Merry Christmas. We have to talk about something disgusting. Jeffrey Epstein. Woo! This is the Colleen and Bradley show on My Talk 107.1, streaming live. MyTalk1071.com, everything entertainment. Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Trainer.
Hi.
What's the latest?
Let's get the nasty patrol together, shall we?
Yes.
That's nasty. Nasty. Oh, that's nasty.
Epstein is nasty. Jeffrey Epstein, of course, is dead. But the case against him continues, and the stories of his nefariousness see no end in sight. But there was an article over at the New York Post, and they've been following this beat for a long time. Jeffrey Epstein case subpoena seeks documents related to billionaire Glenn Dubin's kids. So then I went down this rabbit hole, and I feel like we have talked about this to some extent before, and feel free to fill in the details if you remember this.
Okay.
So Virgin Island prosecutors are demanding that billionaire and a Museum of Modern Art benefactor and board member Glenn Dubin turn over all communications that he had with Jeffrey Epstein, and specifically with Jeffrey Epstein's three children.
Oh my God. No, with Glenn Dubin's three children. Yeah.
Jeffrey Epstein. The only children he had were other people's. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exactly.
A subpoena seeks, quote, all documents and communications related to any of your three children, May, Selena, and Jordan, which also relate in any way to Jeffrey Epstein or any Epstein entity. So apparently they're looking at alleged racketeering by the late billionaire. Now, it all boils down to this. They think that Jeffrey Epstein used his kids, or were trying to use one, if not more, of his daughters to get some money moved around and avoid taxes. Okay. So, apparently he really had a fondness for, Selena when Selena was 12. Oh. And that fondness continued.
Gosh, this all sounds so vaguely familiar. How did we bury this story?
I don't know. He became a fan of this 12-year-old child and then groomed her. Quote, Selena wrote glowingly of their weekly science lesson when Uncle Jeff, as she called him, took time from his personal and business schedule to go to her apartment and discuss science and math lessons that she was learning in school. Just creepy and gross, right? Now, there's no evidence that he ever had a romantic relationship with her. I mean, she says they didn't. She doesn't say they did have, I should say, on the affirmative relationship. But apparently, they say that there might have been this desire for him to eventually leave his fortune to her, thus and so avoiding inheritance taxes. So basically the idea is, and this is what shook loose something from my brain, that Jeffrey Epstein was trying to groom a possible wife that he could then entrust all of his wealth to, that would then avoid him having to pay inheritance taxes. So like a legal maneuver. Yeah. And oh, by the way, I don't know if you know this, he loves young, pretty women.
Right.
/ girls. And so that, you know, this story coming up reminded me of the time we had to have talked about this, because I don't know any other situation we would have been talking about, you know, him grooming a young girl to take over his fortune.
The piece I remember is this idea that he was wanting to marry this young woman who was like, what, 14 or 15?
Well, they became especially close when she was, quote, 12.
Yeah. Oh, it's
and
so
it continued
gross.
Into adulthood. So that's, you know, that story is still actively, you know, in headlines because that case is being pursued still by prosecutors. Ugh. So they want all of the communication because allegedly, supposedly, you know, they would see the intent that Jeffrey had in any communications that he had with those young girls. And so, also, just creepy that a father would allow his daughters
right.
to be used by Jeffrey Epstein.
Well, and the mother was an ex of Jeffrey Epstein's.
Oh, yes. Thank you for bearing the lead. Yeah. I had forgotten to mention that, of course, his ex was this woman who previously had a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, and now Jeffrey Epstein is going after his, or was at the time, going after his daughters.
That's the part that I remember, that I was extremely grossed out by.
Dubin's wife dated him for 11 years.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. So the grossness is not going away anytime soon as insofar as Jeffrey Epstein is concerned.
Here's my question, like right now, who does have like control over, like who has inherited things like, well, his fortune and his island? Like, where are those things?
Well, there's an estate, right? So presumably somebody who's ever managing the estate. And I think at one point it was his brother, but now I don't remember what happened with that. But it's right before he died, he changed everything so that everything would be heading to the Virgin Islands, like, because I think of their, you know, tax situation. And I think his brother was the one that ultimately was going to have control.
Oh, it's so gross.
Yeah. Oh, also, I have an update on Ghislaine.
Oh, what's she up to?
One of her prison guards got the COVID, and so now she's being isolated in jail.
Okay, so she was already isolated in jail, and she was miserable, remember? And now she's now just being more isolated.
Yeah, she apparently has not been able to meet with her lawyers. She's, you know, she has to be extra isolated until her 14-day quarantine.
I bet she's just even more devastated.
Poor thing.
When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley Show, we've got celebrities behaving badly.
D-bags!
Exactly. We'll tell you about them when we come back on My Talk 107.1. Celebrities behaving badly. We love to tell you about them on the Colleen and Bradley Show, My Talk 107.1, streaming live at mytalk1071.com. Everything Entertainment, Colleen Lindstrom, Bradley Traynor.
Hi.
And we have a name for those celebrities behaving badly. That name is...
Z-Bag, Z-Bag, Z-Bag.
Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Okay.
Tell me who your D-Bag is.
So every day, I want you to know this, I actively say to myself, don't make the blast your D-Bag today.
Oh, but you did.
I had to. Because this showed up in my feed, this headline.
Oh, no.
Ready?
What was it?
Noah Cyrus lifts Scooby-Doo shirt in G-string at 2:36 a.m.
What?
Okay, what?
That's the headline. And the story is, well, here, I'll read you the first paragraph. Noah Cyrus' attempts to go to bed early did not come to fruition last night. The 20-year-old singer and sister to Miley Cyrus was lifting up her shirt for a late-night twerk at 2:36 a.m. on Sunday night.
Wow,
technically,
so specific.
Monday morning. With the July...
Not technically, it just is.
Yeah. Anyway, and then it is, that's a story about her Instagram story where she's twerking in a G-string with a Scooby-Doo shirt at 2:36 a.m.
Okay.
Just because I didn't want that headline to stand alone, I grabbed two other headlines from the blast just to bring the point all the way home. I don't even know who Chanel West is, but this is about Chanel West.
Chanel West.
Oh, no, sorry, Chanel West Coast.
That
Chanel
is a
West sounds like a drag queen to me, but what's a Chanel West Coast?
An American television personality, rapper, singer, songwriter, actress, and model.
Oh,
she has 3.5 million followers on Instagram.
Whoa.
Going to go to her Instagram page, and it's a lot of butt cheeks.
Yeah, well, here's what you're going to see
and
on the Instagram page. It's this headline. Chanel West Coast spreads legs in sheer undies from church.
Oh, okay. Church undies.
Well, bless that headline.
Chundies.
Exactly. Okay. Then, finally, just because I'd like to round this out, this headline. And I don't know what any of it means, but all of these, by the way, were written by Rebecca Kukier. Ryan Seacrest, keen on Kelly Ripa's snazzy pants outfit.
Oh, God. I'm glad you said snazzy. I was getting worried there.
What?
Oof, you were getting too close to some words.
Oh. Ryan Seacrest, keen on Kelly Ripa's snazzy pants outfit.
I bet he is.
Mm-hmm.
Why? How do we know this?
Those are nice pair of slacks,
Who
Kelly.
Who cares? He just really is keen on them, apparently.
Yeah. Thank you, Blast. You're just blasting them out of your door hole.
Tomorrow, I'm going to try to not make the blast my...
Something tells me you will.
It's just low-hanging fruit.
I don't want to hear about your low-hanging fruit. But I do have some celebrity low-hanging fruit,
ooh,
D-bag style.
All right.
Nice. And this comes from us, courtesy of the Dalai Mayal.
The Dalai Lama?
Yes, the Dalai Lama.
The known gossiper.
Has now done a newsletter. It's a Substack over on the Twitters.
You can subscribe.
No, this is from the Daily Mail. That was just my fancy way of saying the Dalai Mayal. And because they're French, not really. The story is from, and maybe you've already heard this today, tone-deaf A-Rod asks fans for Thanksgiving plans, .. while aboard his private jet. Okay, so this is the thing I love about this couple, this publicationship. Like, they use their publicationship to always look, like, out of touch, Richie Riches, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's just their brand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, one would think it's a bug, not a feature. But in this case, it really is a feature of the J-Lo and A-Rod publicationship for them to appear as tone-deaf rich people.
Oh, and they've been doing this since
day one.
The beginning of quarantine, it's been especially pronounced.
Yeah, like, literally, we were all home, like, afraid to touch our, you know, countertops.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our knuckles were raw from disinfectant.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, like, bebopping around, like, hey, look what we can do.
They were going to the gym.
Yeah.
They were doing all kinds of stuff.
So, apparently they were traveling home to Miami, fresh from an appearance in New York at the Saks Fifth Avenue holiday window display unveiling. I mean, it's just like, there's this weird juxtaposition of like, the world right
mm-hmm.
now, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
that's happening
right.
at the same time that El Paso is bringing in refrigerator trucks to serve as a temporary morgue. So it's just like, I also understand that, like, you can juxtapose things left and right all day long and make things look uncomfortable. But this, to me, rises to the level of just a little tone deaf. Like, mm-hmm. you can ride in your private jet
because
mm-hmm. you had a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you don't have to go on the socials with it to rub it in mm-hmm. to all them people who are like, hi, I'm stuck on my couch and I would just like to do something else. And you're in your private jet and you're like, hey, I'm so excited for Thanksgiving. We're going to spend time with family. No, actually, most of us aren't.
No, we're not.
No.
So, and literally to say, what are your holiday plans? My holiday plans are not to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm bitter about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm real bitter.
Mm-hmm.
So while I'm not keen on always shaming the celebrities, in this case,
sort of deserved.
Yeah, and you know that the only reason that A-Rod is asking, what are your holiday plans? Is that so he gets more engagement on his Instagram account so that the algorithms service him in a particular way?
Yeah,
it's not like
question.
He really
also,
cares.
Yeah, it's super basic. Like, here, I will ask you questions
mm-hmm.
so
yeah.
that you can interact with me.
Yeah, and it's not it like some questions are fun and some questions lead to good conversation. Alex Rodriguez, this post is not fun.
No, it's
and that
like
question
a,
is not
it's
fun.
It's like a big middle finger. It's like a big nana and a boo-boo.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, you can, again, hire me, celebrities.
Yay!
I will do this for you mm-hmm. better. Don't make me have children and show you how to be a parent. It's not that hard.
Yay!
No, but I'm saying to be a celebrity in the sense that, like, you could do a post that's like, wow, look at my life and how privileged I am. I'm so grateful, and I realize you all are missing your family. What family experience are you going to miss most this holiday season? Right? Like, yeah.
I use an Hermes blanket as something that I put my butt underneath. But how about you?
I mean, the other thing.
Okay, maybe I wouldn't lead with the Hermes.
What they really,
well, that's what they're doing in this picture.
I know.
What they could do is just not post at all from the private jet.
Yeah.
You know, just take those for your own personal
album. Or post
album.
A throwback, you know, like, sure missing Granny this year because I don't want her to die.
Yeah.
What are you missing?
Right. That's a way to get the algorithm working for you.
Yeah, just Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez, just,
but
they have a
But
history.
To be fair, that is their brand, right?
Yes.
So, like, I should shame on me.
Yeah, because we fall for it every time.
Because that's what they want us to know. That's the thing, like, Jennifer Lopez, and if you go back and read, I keep going back to that foundational article that was resurfaced this last year. Mm-hmm. This was before COVID, that a reporter had done with her very early in her career, when she had taken all these other celebrities to task, and she oversold herself, like, to the nines. It's just clear to me that she's always been, and look, I love Jennifer Lopez, right? Her, you know,
Jennifer Lopez-ness.
Yeah, like, and I love her celebrity, right? But like, but in this day and age, like, I don't know. It just, it's not, it maybe is not a brand that's gonna,
I think the thing that,
sell.
That bugs me the most is that she has branded herself as just Jenny from the block.
Oh, but does just Jenny from the block accept $10 million to do private concerts for authoritarian regimes?
Okay. Apparently, just Jenny from the block does.
Well,
I mean,
also a lot of other ones.
Right, that's true.
I mean, that's a little
but
hard.
That's the thing about this whole storyline that they're trying to push, where you said, like, that's their brand, is, like, just that they're richer and more privileged
top,
than you. But she can't simultaneously sell me that and just Jenny from the block.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I am fooled by the rocks that she got.
Mm-hmm. And you're fabulous, Jennifer Lopez, and beautiful and talented.
Right.
And
no, I don't want to take any of that away from her.
But just lean into that, the beautiful, the fabulous.
It's just becoming clearer. Like, again, 2020 is brought it all into relief. It's even harder for celebrities to be one thing on the outside and another thing on the inside and not have those two things so obviously in our face, mm-hmm. right? Like, we can see the real. We're not dumb. We're not as dumb or as, I shouldn't say dumb, because we're not dumb. We're very smart. And Colleen, I'm very proud of all that you've done with your life.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to sing the Thanksgiving song. Later.
Okay, we'll do it later. Okay. It's that we have not cared or paid as close attention to the cognitive dissonance
See, that was a smart
on
word.
Display. See, I earned my
yes.
my student loans. Still paying them off. Okay. Where am I? Okay, so
cognitive dissonance.
I need to justify why I am not on a private jet this Thanksgiving. Right. Thank you.
Yeah. Also, I'm really interested in Jennifer Lopez's latest post on Instagram. She uses the hashtag turkey egg.
What?
What does that mean?
What?
I don't know. I'm very
but
confused.
In relation to what?
Yeah, give me context.
A naked photo.
What? Of herself?
Yes.
Is this a video?
Oh, yes.
In the morning face, turkey egg, new music.
Is she going to hatch a turkey egg?
I'm so going to read
it. And she's holding her boobies.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe she's saying her boobs are as big as turkey eggs.
Oh, it could be.
Maybe ostrich eggs.
Also, why don't we eat turkey eggs?
I was wondering the exact same thing just now. Also,
I mean, surely those turkeys are laying eggs.
Right?
What do they do with the
eggs? Right, like, cause there, are, who are the, what are the girls?
I'm gonna tweet this. And
wait,
see what happens.
Are there girl turkeys and Tom's are boy turkeys?
Yeah,
yeah.
So what are they like?
What are the girl turkeys?
But then people are encouraging it, like this person on Instagram, Safa Cock.
Okay.
No, it's
back away.
C A Key. K. That's their name. And then hashtag turkey egg and a bunch of emojis. I feel like I'm really missing something here.
I do want you to know this. Turkey eggs are totally edible. Those who have backyard turkeys report their eggs taste remarkably similar to chicken eggs. They're slightly bigger, the shell is slightly tougher, and the membrane between the shell and the egg is slightly thicker, but otherwise they're not too different. So why? What happens to all the turkey eggs?
I'm tweeting it right now. We'll find out.
Okay. I think that...
we're going to put the brain trust on this one.
When we come back... we're either like really smart today or really dumb. My money's on the latter.
Yeah.
When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show, we're going to sing our Thanksgiving song one more time. And I want to see if you guys think this old movie deserves a reboot or if it should get the boot. And Bradley, I don't want you to look at all the details about it because the cast is part of what will go into your decision. When we come back on the Colleen and Bradley show on MyTalk 107.1. Thank you, Holly. This is the Colleen and Bradley Show on MyTalk 107.1, streaming live at MyTalk1071.com. Everything entertainment. I'm Colleen Lindstrom. That's Bradley Traynor.
Hi.
And I think it's time to celebrate a little bit because, you know, we've been through some stuff during this hour.
Oh, have we ever.
And when we're having emotions, sometimes it's best to sing them out. And we have a little song to share that has everything to do with a holiday that's coming up this week.
Yeah, we do. And it goes a little something like this.
Nice side mouth, Bradley. Everybody, that is the famous and well-known Nicole Westbrook as produced by Patrice Wilson.
Which, by the way, if you want to go down that rabbit hole, can I just say that Willa Paskin, who's just a wonderful person, does a podcast called Decoder Ring. Mm-hmm. And she did a podcast all about not Nicole Westbrook, but Rebecca Black, mm-hmm. who did Friday, which was also the brainchild of one Patrice Wilson. And mm-hmm. you can hear Patrice Wilson talk about how he came up with Friday. He does not, sadly, go on to the B-side Thanksgiving.
Sadly.
But maybe Willow will someday do a podcast about that. But I will say her most recent podcast is all about, and I'm so excited to listen to it, the Cabbage Patch craziness of the 1980s.
Oh, my gosh. I will be excited to listen to that, too, because that was, honestly, like, I've tried to tell my children the story of the Cabbage Patch craziness. And how you literally could not get your hands on a Cabbage Patch Kid. Like, my parents had to coordinate. Like, there was somebody who had a lead on some Cabbage Patch Kids. And I specifically wanted a redheaded Cabbage Patch Kid. My dad had to leave a meeting to meet somebody in a parking lot to buy the Cabbage Patch Kid.
Now my mother got into fist fights with ladies at the Montgomery Ward.
Are you serious?
No, but she did she sold Cabbage Patch Kids. Like, she resold them because people were, you know, like, they were so hard to get. Mm-hmm. And so she would, like, go to the store. She worked in the mall at the time. And so she would, like, go on her break and buy as many Cabbage Patch Kids as she could and then sell them on the...
See, that's the thing. That was smart.
Yeah, yeah. I think my grandma might have slugged somebody.
I'm sure.
For a Cabbage Patch Kid.
Everybody's got a weird story about how they got their Cabbage Patch Kid, and it usually involves full-on adults acting like children.
Mm, look, nothing's changed.
I don't know what you're talking about. So I wanted to do a little reboot or get the boot, Bradley.
Reboot? Well, get the boot.
Reboot? Or get the boot?
Do you know the movie It's a Wonderful Life?
I do. It's like basically the most probably well-known Christmas movie.
Yeah, it was done in 1946. It starred Jimmy Stewart. And the story is this, you know, tale as old as time about a guy who, you know, is kind of a gruff guy and has occasion to actually correct his ways. Well, there's a reboot on the horizon. And this one will star, are you ready? Wait for it. Pete Davidson.
No. What?
Pete Davidson will be joined by his King of Staten Island co-star, Maude Apatow, who is the 22-year-old actress daughter of Judd Apatow and his wife, Leslie Mann, also an actress.
Okay.
She will play his spouse in the new movie, in the new version of It's a Wonderful Life.
Okay. I mean, I'm not running towards that. Mostly because I don't have a fondness for the original, even. I have, in fact, never seen the original.
Now, what I want you to know is this is not going to be made for screen. This is going to be a table read.
Oh, so they're not doing like an actual...
They're not doing the actual movie, but they are doing... This is an Ed Asner production as a fundraiser for the Ed Asner Family Center, which is dedicated to promoting mental health and enrichment programs for special needs children and their families. You have to buy tickets to see this, but this is, but it will be a table, which is, this has been a thing during our time of quarantine to do these table reads as fundraisers. But the Pete Davidson part of it is like, I just can't see him being the person to do what Jimmy Stewart did in It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to point something out.
Yeah.
Is this a safe space? Can we have this conversation?
Yeah. It's here. You were safe.
Bradley, have you ever seen It's a Wonderful Life?
Were you not listening to me?
No, you told us that off the air. You didn't say that on the air, did you?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, you did say that on the air.
Again. Yeah. The brain.
You were so engrossed.
I wasn't.
I said, little known fact, actually, I've never seen it. I said, I'm not running towards this movie.
Oh, that's right.
Because I don't have a fondness for it, mostly because I've never seen the original.
Right. And so maybe you do want to run toward the original.
I don't, for whatever reason, I've never gotten, like, and trust me, I love old movies, A, and I love campy old movies, B, and I love holiday old movies even more, C. I don't know what letter I'm on or why I'm using letters, but I'm just trying to make the point that, like, every year I love to watch White Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not opposed to old Christmas movies, so it is rather weird that I've never seen It's a Wonderful Life, and I don't know why. It just has never appealed to me as a movie that I've wanted to, like...
The thing I sit down and watch. Is, like, you could accidentally see that movie.
I know. It's true. I've seen parts in the sense that, like, you know, flipping channels, maybe I've seen a little bit. And like,
you know what happens whenever a bell rings.
Yes, an angel gets its wings. I know all the, like, sort of cultural touch points of the movie because you can't help but, like, you almost don't have to see the movie. And probably at a certain point, I was like, well, why do I need to see it? Because everybody's, you know what I mean? But
Holly, you had a hot take on this movie.
Well, yeah, I'm interested in Bradley watching this movie because even though he knows the tropes, I feel like he can watch it with a fresh set of eyes because I don't really think that this movie deserves to be the holiday classic that it is.
It's not a super uplifting.
No, not at all.
But you're really selling it. I should watch it.
Yes, you should.
He's saying he doesn't want to.
Okay.
I mean, if you're going to pay me?
No. No, but you could just do it for the job you already get paid for.